Father, I truly do thank you for all you're doing here today. I thank you for your people came out to sit at your table. I thank you, Father God, for being with your daughter, Barbara. I thank you, Father, that you're in total and full and complete control of all things. And we say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'm going to go back to teach you on how to move into God's time zones. It's very imperative that we really and truly are seeking God's face and moving when God tells us to move. And don't miss your window of opportunity. All right, what is a time span of time? Because these are things God talked about. A time span of time is a period of time between two events, or during which an event continues. A time span of 15 years. What is a time frame? It's a period of time, especially a specified period, in which something occurs or is planned to take place. All right, what is a time zone? A zone is actually an area or division that has its own characteristics, mechanism, or features that, no matter how similar to other adjacent areas that it may appear, is still unique in and of itself. A time zone is a region of the globe that observes a uniform standard of time for legal, commercial, and social purposes. Now, God has been, you know, it totally blew my mind. I was looking through some notes of mine, and I noticed back in 1996, I taught about the time zones of God. And now here we are teaching about the time zones of God again. And then I read an article where this man God gave him vision back in 1996. And the other night he gave him the very same identical vision now. So I just thought it was awesome, you know, that God is going back from what he did in 1996 and he's redoing it today. You know, God just keeps revolving things and revolving things for his time zones, his time frames. And we need to understand that God is a God that continually moves. We know that we're in a new 40-year period of time, and we know that God is doing specific things in this time frame, and he is bringing in the lost and the dying, and he is doing a mighty works in us, the remnant, so that we can be used mightily in this end time, or even in this time frame, I should say. Now, the words times and seasons are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. Excuse me, but they do have some distinction. Times signify duration, while seasons signify characteristics of that duration of time. Times signify duration, while seasons signify characteristics of that duration of time. I have to also say I couldn't find any sermons I preached on them because they're back archived somewhere, but I would have liked to look back and read and seen how I did teach it then, but I couldn't find it. All right, now a season is a time at which certain preordained events take place or necessary accomplishments need to take place and is a regularly fixed period of time. Let's read that again. A season is a time at which certain preordained events take place or necessary accomplishments need to take place and is a regularly fixed period of time. And while time involves length or measurement of moments, they both signify appointed, fixed, and set times or periods. There is another word that can be interjected here, and that is hour. It is a fixed time or a time determined upon or demanded. Let's stop here because, you know, now is the time for the street ministry. We just know that. And God prophesied to Elaine that she would be out on the street ministry. And, you know, Brother Mark has been coming here for a while. And I just found out he's been doing street ministry for a while. And so he's been helping teach Elaine how to do street ministry from what Elaine says. And, you know, Mark's been coming here for a couple years now, right? But right now is a time that I'm finding all this stuff out about Brother Mark and his street ministry. So see what God did. He had to get, Mark was here, but he had to get Elaine here so they could go out there together to do the street ministry. See how God works these things out? I mean, Mark could have been doing teaching us about street ministry all along, but God never brought it up until now. Why now? Because now is the time that he's bringing the lost and dying into the house of God. A year ago, it was not the right season or time for that to happen, but now is the right season and the right time. If you just really look what's going on around about you and observe the times and the seasons, instead of being stuck in your own little world, you'll wonder, God, do for me, do for me, do for me. You'll see how God is bringing everything around and putting everything together. And how many times has God said, I am working behind the scenes? So he's been working behind the scenes to bring this all together. So now is a perfect timing for the street ministry to really blossom. Are you understanding this? And I don't know, about a year ago, God told me, maybe longer now, that he was placing my mantle to do deliverance on Nancy. And so he's taken me totally out of deliverance. I mean, you know, I still get involved, but I don't come and do deliverance. But now that my season of doing deliverance is over, and God has me in a new season. And now Nancy and Brett and Adam have taken over the deliverance ministry. See that? But he had to get them groomed and ready to do deliverance before he could take me out of that. But now, if they mess up, they're in trouble. Because this is their season to really build the deliverance ministry up. And what I like about it is God took me out of the deliverance ministry before all the great big demons came on the scene, the extras started, you know. I mean, I was there, but now they're really fighting big demons. All right, now let's talk about the flag ministry. God brought the flag ministry in. I haven't talked to Grace about this yet, but he brought the flag ministry in, and we was having a wonderful time with the flag ministry, but all of a sudden God said, stop the flag ministry. And now God is rearranging the whole flag ministry, so we're going to be, you know, doing something different with the flag ministry. The flag ministry was good for that season, but now God, we're still going to have flagging, but now God's going to, he is rearranging it because he wants it done a certain way. And I've been wanting to talk to Grace for a month, but then so far it hasn't been the time to talk to her about it. You know, now I have to wait for God's timing or I'll mess things up. Do you understand this? We just can't really, okay, God said, okay, I'm changing the flag in ministry. So I just jump in there and start saying, well, we're going to do some changes here. I have to do it step by step the way God says it. Now, back to Brother Mark. I'm just showing you what times and seasons are. Brother Mark's been coming here quite some time, and God's been working with me for 2 weeks now. I'm sorry, 2 months now to ordain him. And finally last night he said, are you going to ordain him or are you not? So I haven't talked to Brother Mark yet, but I like to do it next Sunday so I get out of God's hot water. All right? And see, but before he's never ever once said, do this. So you have to understand, folks, that whenever God lays it upon your heart to do something, then you have to listen to him and do it exactly the way he tells you to do it. You don't jump in and do it the way you want to do it. You just don't say, well, you're not doing it the way I want it, or you don't do that. We do it the way God wants it done. Now, let's go back in here. I probably just went over some of my stuff here. All right. I said there is another word that can be interjected here, and that is hour. It is a fixed time or a time determined upon or demanded. Like Ecclesiastes confirms, God uses this language to speak to us about appointed and ordained times, seasons, hours, and even days to accomplish his purpose on the earth. Genesis 1:14-15. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. Why? To divide the day from the night. What's your purpose? And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. We see here that God created times and seasons and created the purposes for them. God purposed that time would show his people signs, seasons, days, and years. If we do not understand times and seasons, we will not be able to understand the signs that God himself is showing and putting forth concerning his movement. All right? All right, let's just talk about radio. I used to be on, have a radio ministry, then the Christians around here shut it down. But then God said to me, he told me to tell Brother Christopher to start a radio ministry. And he didn't do it. And I said to him, have you started that radio ministry yet? He says, not yet. So finally God said to tell him, did he start that radio ministry? So he said, I'm getting working on it. So now he has a radio ministry going. And I listened to one of them this morning, which was absolutely awesome. He's very good at it. But see, he sat on that for a year at least. He did not move when God told him to move. And I don't know what he missed out on, but he finally has done it, and he's happy with it, right? You sound like you were happy with it. All right. I said, if we do not understand times and seasons, we will not be able to understand the signs that God himself is showing and putting forth concerning his movement. The church will not be able to understand when God is moving. God is expecting his people to find out where he is going and to flow with him. Then we can be able to understand the timing of God. Right now, God's doing something in this church, and I don't know what it is. And I was sitting doing praise and worship, but please tell me what it is. And I know that I'm supposed to quit doing praise and worship songs. And so I'm going to jump on Aaron, and I'm going to see what he does for a praise and worship. All right? See, I know when I'm finished with a project. And I know when I'm just pushing and it's not, you know, it's still God, but it's still not God's purpose for my life right now. Are you understanding this? So there's a lot of changes going on, but it's because God is getting the church ready for the new building and the influx of people that's coming into the house of God. And you need to know when you're finished with a project. You just have to, you need to learn when, all right, I'm done with this because I'm struggling now. All right. We need to clear, but I wasn't struggling for this morning services. God just wanted you all to, every one of them songs had a meaning, so I wasn't struggling with that. We need to clearly understand that an ignorance of an hour in your life will cause a divine purpose to be delayed or even aborted. We need to clearly understand that ignorance of an hour in your life will cause a divine purpose to be delayed or even aborted. In other words, if God told you to move and you didn't move, you might not ever go around that thing again. You might have aborted that. Daniel 7:25. This special king will say things against God Most High, and he will hurt and kill God's people. He's talking about Satan here. Let's start this again. This special king will say things against God Most High, and he will hurt and kill God's special people. That king will try to change the times and laws that have already been set. God's holy people will be under that king's power for 3.5 years. And it's talking about Satan. So anytime we allow Satan to cause our minds to dwell in this earthly realm, we can become a stumbling block to the divine purposes of God. This is why God keeps telling us, quit looking at your circumstances and place your eyes upon me. Anytime we allow Satan to cause our minds to dwell in this earthly realm, we can become a stumbling block to the divine purposes of God. Now, the other night I had a dream and finally found out what it meant. And then last night I had a continuation of that dream. Same people, same room, same everything. And see, God, from what I'm picking up, is he's showing me something in this dream. And he's doing it. He did it one night, then he did it last night. And I'm waiting to see what he's going to do tonight, because the dream isn't yet finished. So we have to, you know, we've been told to start watching our dreams, that God is going to be talking to us through dreams. So I'm asking you to really watch your dreams. You, whenever you get awake, write them down so you remember what you was dreaming. All right. I said, anytime we allow Satan to cause our minds to dwell in this earthly realm, we can become a stumbling block to the divine purpose of God. The ramifications of this message are great, and that is why we need to understand it. That's times and seasons. If the enemy could get us to go swimming in the winter or skiing in the summer, then we have been taken captive by his devices. This lines up with the prophetic word of Jeremiah that says in Jeremiah 33:19 through 21, if you break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed times, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, then he shall not have a son to reign on his throne. So he's saying, if you mess with my covenant, then you're going to mess everything up. And this is what some of you have already done in here. You have messed with God's purpose for your life, and you've messed some things up in your life, and now you're going to have to regroup with God, and God's going to have to give you divine direction. Now, you know, God told me to start these six-week teachings. All right, so we're doing the 6 week teachings. Some he's going to stop at 6 weeks. Others he's going to say extend. And that's up to God, you know, because this is what God has showed us, that, you know, some are going to keep going on. But whenever God says stop, we have to stop, or they will quit having an impact on the people that's listening to them. Are you understanding this? So God might ask you to do something and then say, you're finished with that. You have to be willing to say, all right, God, you know, let me move on. Don't try to hold on to what you're doing, because what he's taking you into is always greater. All right. And what he's asked us to do, even with these 6 weeks teachings that we have on the web, he's asking us to put that out there for the people that do not hear or understand, so that they can learn what you know. It's just not to, and we are never, ever, ever putting the lighthouse out there. It's not about the lighthouse. It's about taking the gospel to the world that does not have it. We are not trying to promote the lighthouse, not at all. That is not my purpose. It's not God's purpose. God's purpose is to get the word out there, behind these four walls, into a world that does not hear it. Are you understanding that? All right, when we allow the devil to make us blind to righteousness and he gives us sight to sin, then God's appointed times for accomplishing his purpose in us are delayed. In other words, if you're going along with God and all of a sudden you get into your sin nature, then you've just delayed the thing that God was calling you forth to do. The degree of the kingdom established in you is in direct proportion to the tests and trials you go through. The degree of the kingdom established in you, your anointing, is in direct proportion to the tests and trials you go through. So, if your tests and your trials are bad, then your impact upon the world is going to be great. Now, if your tests and trials are just, you know, little willy-nilly things, then you're not going to be used to greatly impact the world. And then say you wouldn't impact them, but you won't impact them as much. All right? So let's quit complaining about our tests and our trials, Barbara. And let's just go on and let God use us the way he wants to. I'm talking to myself. Everybody's looking around. I was talking about me. Amen? Because I complain every now and then. I'm no different than you, right? And we need to stop that, because your impact upon the world is going to be great. And God knows that. And he has to let the devil know that you're not going to cave in when the tests and the trials come. If you cave in, you're not going to be any good to him. And some of you have been caver-inners. And so God's made you go around the mountain again and again and again to strengthen you so that you won't cave in whenever we're really out there doing the works for the Father. There is a difference between seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again to see the kingdom, but you must be born of this water and the Spirit to enter in. All right? Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again to see the kingdom, but you must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter in. We know that water is for purifying and cleansing. Now, we also know that God has told us years ago, no more religion. Spirit is calling to spirit. And that God wants us to enter into the third heaven after he told us, and then he invited us into the third heaven. See, God clears a path. And he wants us to stay in the third heaven with him so we can sit there and get the anointing from the third heaven to bring it back down to the people. He does not want us on this earthly realm. He does not want us in the second heaven. He wants us to abide in the third heaven continually. David knew about the purifying season of God, for he wrote in Psalms 119, verse 9, "How shall a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed to the word of God?" The nation of Israel knew well about the time of refining and testing. We know that the cloud of God led them by day and the fire of God led them by night. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Why? That he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Your hearts have been tested. Some hearts have been tested sorely. Amen. Because God wanted you to see what was in your heart. I mean, I know he wanted me to see what was in my heart. And you know, and I'm glad he does that, because I don't want anything in my heart that's going to taint his kingdom. All right. The first sign that will confirm that we are in a new zone is the blowing of the trumpet of God by the prophets and the apostles. And see, this is another thing that is so awesome, because as I was sitting there and the shofar was being blown, God said, "They do not understand the importance of the blowing of the shofar in this building." If you say it bothers you, then there's something in you that's not of God. All right? Because that thing that's not of God gets stirred up. Isaiah, sometimes he holds his ears because he can't stand the blowing of the shofar. That's because that devil is manifested and it cannot stand the anointing coming from that shofar. All right, so the first sign that will confirm that we are in a new zone is a blowing of the trumpet of God by the prophets and the apostles. And see, I thought that was also, that's also very neat as I was reading that in the scriptures, how important the shofar is, because God sent in Adam first, who I didn't know blew a shofar. Then he brought Elaine in, and I forgot how I found out she blew a shofar. But see, God wanted the shofar to be blown in this building before the services to blow away all the debris that the enemy brought in. So we are really truly triply blessed by God, because we have his anointed shofar blowers blowing over us all the time. And everybody that blows a shofar is not blowing an anointing. And I know I've gotten in trouble by saying to people, "You can't blow the shofar here." I don't care who else allows them to blow the shofar. I don't want it blown in here, because I know that they're not in right standing with God. There's things in their life that aren't right. And I don't want that blown over the people in here. All right? We told somebody they couldn't blow in here, so they went outside and blew outside over the building. So then we had to break that too. But you know, I'm sorry, guys. This is the way you have to be. You have to be strong in the Lord. You have to stand your ground. You cannot compromise. The blowing of the trumpet signifies the ending of one zone and the beginning of another. And see, this is what was so awesome, because God brought Elaine in here and Adam in here and started blowing the shofar, because he was ending one season of 40 years and he was starting a brand new season of 40 years. See how this is working out? So actually what we have is the limits or boundaries being defined by the blowing trumpets in the land. If you read your word, and I read a lot about this in the Old Testament, they blew the shofar all the time. It was very, very important whenever they did it. It is very crucial that we acknowledge these boundaries. As we acknowledge these boundaries, it will cause an individual to become sensitive toward the current changes being made. Some of you, I know things are going on in your life, you don't quite understand them. God is changing your time zone, I'm hearing him say, and your atmosphere, and you're befuddled, that if you'll just be still, he'll make it clear what he's doing in your life. I think he's talking to me. All right, Joel 2:1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Remember, years ago, God started to give me this scripture over and over and over again. It took me a while to understand what he was saying. You know, as the pastor, the shepherd in this church, I am to blow the trumpet. I am to sound the alarm. We're in trouble, you know, or God's going to do a new thing. I am supposed to be warning you of what's going on around about you. So it says, Joel 2:1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. There are three distinct degrees of effect and influence as one travels from zone to zone. All three influences promote a change, but the changes promoted differ in severity of reaction. One change promoted is a gradual, moderate change, because some of us can't stand an instant change, right? Then there is an immediate level of change, one that is less gradual and more abrupt. Then there is the third, which calls for an all-out abrupt change. Stop it now. I'm sending you into a new time zone. Stop. Remember, God kept telling me, don't want what you used to have, because what I'm taking you into is so much greater. So whatever you're into, and God is telling you, that he's changing you into a new time zone, don't fight him. Just let go. And move with God, because I guarantee you that what he's taking you into is so much greater than what you're leaving. It might be a ministry, it could be anything, but don't hang on to it. Then there is the third, which calls for an all-out abrupt change. It demands extreme reaction and immediate response. In other words, you cannot drag your feet. You have to move with God. It is apparent that it is illegal to travel across the boundary, the line of change, the old way, using the old pattern, the old style. And that's what I wanted to do. I kept, because we had such a wonderful time. God can't, where we were dead and dying on the vine, dry as we could get. God, can't we at least have a little bit of what we used to have? And he kept saying, no. You have to let go of that. And I held on to it for a while, because we needed something. But finally, I said, all right, God, I'll let go. Let's take me into the new. Then things started to change. So I needed to let go immediately and not hang on. So if God's trying to change whatever he's doing with you, then let go so he can take you into the new. And this is where the body of believers are at. We have to let go of the old so we can bring the new. We cannot take anything old into this new time zone or season. It is very important to react immediately to what God is demanding. Churches that refuse to change and insist upon traveling into this new zone in the old way will dry up spiritually. See that? All right, let's just say with deliverance ministry, God might tell you to do it totally different than what you've already done it. But you're familiar with what you're doing and you really don't want to do something new, then you're going to dry up spiritually. Or let's just say the street ministry that Mark has and Elaine has and whoever else has. It's going great the way it is, but God might say, okay, now I want you to do it a new way. But you're familiar with this and this is working. But if God says do it a new way, then you have to do it a new way, because he has something so much greater that he's going to reveal to you about how to work street ministry. All right? God has been telling us of the new wineskins. He has stated he cannot place the new wine into the old skins. He's been dealing with that for a while now. Mark 2:22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. God has to take out all the old before he can pour in the new. God cannot pour his glory into you with the old in you. You have to be totally changed and rearranged, and then God will drop his glory in you and do a mighty works through you. God has been trying to shake all the old junk out of the body so he can place the fullness of his glory into the body. Some have yielded, but some have been like Samson in Judges 16:15. Then Delilah said to Samson, "How can you say I love you when you don't even trust me? You refuse to tell me your secret. This is the third time you made me look foolish. You haven't told me the secret of your great strength." She kept bothering Samson day after day. He got so tired of her asking him about his secret that he felt like he was going to die. Finally, Samson told Delilah everything he said. "I have never had my hair cut. I was dedicated to God before I was born. If someone shaved my head, I would lose my strength. I would become as weak as any other man." Delilah saw that Samson had told her his secret. She sent a message to the rulers of the Philistines. She said, "Come back again. Samson has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines came back and brought the money that they had promised to give her. Delilah got Samson to go to sleep with his head lying on her lap, in her lap. Then she called in a man to shave off the 7 braids of Samson's hair. In this way she made Samson weak, and his strength left him. Then Delilah called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines' men are going to capture you." He woke up and thought, "I will escape as I did before and free myself." But Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. Now that's what I'm trying to get at. Some of you are still doing the things the old way, and you test to say, "Oh, it's still working. I still have the anointing." But one day, if you don't yield to God and get rid of the old, you're going to be like Samson, and you're going to do something, and it's not going to work because you won't know that God has already left you. All right? So you have to yield to God. All right, then the launching out time in John 7:1-8. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to him, 'My time has not yet come.'" See, somebody, they were trying to make him do something. He said, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." He did not, Jesus did not allow anybody to cause him to do something that he knew was not his time. I'm encouraging each one of you in here today, do not allow anybody to push you into doing something that you know God has not called you into doing yet. All right? If you're a leader, if you're out there evangelizing or anything, you should be hearing God's voice very clearly for yourself. Now, confirmation is fine, but don't allow people to push you into doing something that you know that God does not want you to do. You all know my story. The people around here said you'd have the biggest church around if you just change your message. But I could not change my message because God sent me here with a certain message, and that's the message I had to preach, and that was repent. And it doesn't matter, God wasn't into building churches, he was into getting people set free. All right? Jesus wanted to launch out into the ministry at the proper time. He did not want to be an illegal minister. You're illegal when you don't go through the right door, way, or channel. When you go through the window or by the shortcut, you will find yourself operating illegally. Yeah, it's like we moved into this building and everything was going wrong. I said, "God, what is going wrong here?" And he said, "I did not send you into this building. The people did, and it's not my will. But I'll keep you while you're here, but you won't have an abundance. I'll just keep you, meet your needs." So moving, and then the people talked me into moving into this building, left. But see, so I shouldn't have listened to the people because it got me in trouble. You do what you know that God is telling you to do, and only do what he's telling you to do. Jesus knew and understood the time for everything. You can do a thing that is absolutely right, but because you did it at the wrong time, it becomes wrong. I never have a revival unless God tells me I can have one. And he always tells me what's going to happen during that revival. And I've been wanting to have a revival for quite some time, but finally God, when I was sitting in the day, God said, you can have a revival now. You know, so now we're going to have that revival. But I just can't have a revival because we want a revival. It has to be when God says so. One time God told me to have a revival. He said, nobody's going to come. Absolutely nobody will be here except your people. And that's the only ones that came. He said, because a revival is for them. Are you understanding this? We went through all the expense of advertising and everything else that we do, knowing that nobody was going to show up except the few that come here on a regular basis. But that's the way God wanted it. All right? When you don't find the purpose for time, you will abuse it. Time has a purpose. God might give you a program or a project to accomplish for him during a specific time span. And after that time span, that program is supposed to be over unless God decides to extend it. And that's our 6 weeks thing that I was talking about. You know, I don't think these things up myself. God tells me what to do, even though some of you think I do. I really don't. You know, and if I look at you and say, God wants you to do this, he's just now telling me he wants you to do that. You know, he's telling you through me that that's what he wants to do. I don't sit around and wonder what he's going to do with people. I don't have time to do that. You see, to be obedient is to do what God wants, when he wants it, where he wants it, how he wants it, and then to stop. Anything more is being disobedient. The second thing to know about the time zone of God is the assignment for that zone. The assignment could be both individually and corporately. We must not fulfill an assignment of one zone for the other. We must find the assignment for this time zone and serve it. Knowing the assignment of a time zone will help to determine to decide the boundary for that zone. Right now, we know that what our assignment is to win the loss for Christ at any cost. That's our assignment right now. I don't know how long that assignment's going to be, but that's our assignment. And so we have to be working diligently at winning the lost. And I'm telling you, a street ministry, you know, being out on the street is the best way to win the lost. All right? In the Word of God, every time a prophet went to anoint a... Now, listen to this. In the Word of God, every time a prophet went to anoint a person for a particular office in Israel, he went with anointing oil and with an assignment or a purpose. The assignment and purpose is given after the anointing for that office or position is completed. There is always an assignment or purpose. Let's read that again. In the Word of God, every time a prophet went to anoint a person for a particular office in Israel, he went with anointing oil and with an assignment or a purpose. The assignment and purpose is given after the anointing for the office or position is completed. There is always an assignment or purpose when you're anointed. Look at the various assignments given by the Lord through the prophet Samuel to Saul after he was anointed. Well, let's just stop there. How many times have I said, Adam. Adam, you get the oil and you go anoint the people. They're laying on the floor and this is what you're anointing them for. Now, I don't know God's going to do that. Now, every time I do that, whoever I, you know, God tells me to do it, you have to receive that anointing for that purpose or it does you no good. I do not sit here and just say things that we'll be doing something. I only do, just like Andrew, God used Andrew to anoint. You know, you have to understand that we are doing what God is, I am doing what God is telling me to do, and when he anoints you, you are anointed for that purpose. All right? Samuel told Saul the purpose of his being anointed in 1 Samuel 9:26. Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? That's why he was anointing him. Because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. And 1 Kings 19:15 said, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. See, as prophet in your place. See this? He had me anoint Nancy as the deliverance person. Give her my mantle. It shall be that whoever escapes a sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes a sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. There was always a purpose for God's anointing somebody. And when people just want to willy-nilly throw oil on you, you need to not willy-nilly let them. It should always be for a purpose. Do you see the purpose for the anointing of Hazael, Jehu, and Elijah in these scriptures? Hazael was to be anointed as king in place of Ben-Hadad, and the purpose of his anointing was for him to destroy the house of Ben-Hadad, who was not walking in line with God. Jehu was to be anointed as king to replace Ahab, and the purpose of his anointing was for Jehu to destroy all of the house of Ahab. Elijah was to be anointed in Elijah's stead. See this? Always a purpose for anointing. Now, when the lady poured the oil over my head, that she didn't tell me anything. She just did it and said, now go home. I didn't know what she was doing then, but I found out later that what God was anointing me for. If somebody's going to put oil on you and anoint you, you need to know what they're anointing you for. Just don't let them just say, here, let me anoint you. No, you have to know why they're anointing you. And I'm believing that you're walking in the Spirit enough that you'll know the truth. It just won't let any old buddy lay hands on you and put oil on you. The body of Christ has just come through the time and season of sifting and shaking. That time and season is over and God has moved on. If you didn't change and do what God's wanting you to do, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen to you, because he's moved on now. He's not there anymore. He has to move on to the world. He has to move on to these lost and dying souls. All right, so let's just Astrid Becker shaking her head. God's been dealing with me about we have to minister to her people, and so he said I want to use Astrid, but I have to clean her up before I can use her. And so even though I knew what he wanted to do, I had to wait patiently for him to say, okay, now is the time. And now he said, now is the time. And I hear she's doing a powerful job with what she's doing. And so see, there's always a time and a season for all things. And I, you know, God would prophesy to her, I'm going to use you and I'm going to use you. And I don't know if she got, well, when, but you know, he had to clean her up totally and completely so he could use her. Are you seeing this? So when God says he wants to use you, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to use you right now. It means that's his purpose for your life, but he'll have to get you ready for that purpose. Now we are in the time and season. So I said the shaking's over. Right now we are in the time and season of rebuilding the church. Become a worker church once again, a working church once again. New programs in the church. Going outside the four walls into the community. The second thing is revival. Allowing God to clean you up individually so he can use you. You have to be cleaned up. You carry revival individually. Taking the gospel of love to the lost and the hurting, bringing the lost into the house of God. God's been dealt with us for years about love, the love foundation. Until you got the love foundation down, you couldn't take the gospel to anybody and win them to Christ. Then when you take it with love, then you can win people for Christ. All right, the third thing is time for God to start you in your ministries. God wants to start you people in your ministries now. Not next week, not next year, but right now. Fourth thing is time to allow the fire of God to burn up all the chaff everywhere you go. In other words, you should be so clean and so anointed that no matter where you go, the enemy has to flee. He just cannot stand in your presence. He has to flee. All right, the fifth thing is time for fasting. To hear God's voice more clearly, have the gifts in operation wherever you go. God's told me we need to start living a fasted life. I didn't say fast 40 days, 21 days, but we have to live a fasted life. You have to set up a program in your lifestyle that causes you, or you fast. All right? Not once a year either. Like God told me, he said, daughter, that's why I'm saying this. God said to me, daughter, you set up a program and let me know when you're going to fast, and this is the way it'll be. And so this is what I've done. Brother Aaron sent me a program where him and God got together, and he has a program set up where when he's going to fast and how. And this is what you need to do. All right, God, I'm going to fast 3 days a week, or, you know, whatever. You set up the program, tell God what you want, tell God what you're going to do, and then you do it. But now is the time, and if you really look, I've told you this before, but look in the Word, every time something's going to happen, they fasted and got God's attention. Mark 2:20 says, Jesus said, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And what was happening is the people were saying, everybody else, you cause it, make everybody else fast, and John and his disciples fast. Why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus is saying here, but they, as long as he was there, they did not have to fast. He said, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And Joel 2:15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. God is in a new time zone. And I'm hearing him say he's freezing that time zone for a temporary period. And he's going to accomplish the works that he's always planned to accomplish in this time zone. And now what he wants each and every one of you to do is to do the things that he's called you for to do. Do them very diligently so that you are not passed by. Every one of you in here, I know that you've had your trials and your tribulations and your own battles with inside. But God, if you allowed him to, God was with you through it all. And he brought you through. You might not be totally through, but he's going to bring you totally and completely through. And you won't have to worry about whether or not the enemy's going to come at you, you know, and destroy you when you're out there doing God's works. Obedience. It's taking total obedience right now. You have to be obedient to everything God's calling you to do. And if you've told God you're going to do something, then you have to do that thing. You have to carry it through. You cannot stop it just because you just want to stop it. You made a covenant with God, and you have to carry that thing through. Some of you still don't have your scripture that God wants you to stand on. God said, as you seek his face, he will give you that scripture, and that scripture will carry you through. So you need to really, if you don't have that scripture, you need to seek God's face until he gives you the scripture. And I asked him if I could line you up in prophecy, you know, and God to tell me what your scripture was. He said, no, can't do that. He said, because I want them to take time, quality time with me, find out for themselves. Say, so I really thought that would be a neat way to go, but quick way to go. But he said, no, you have to take the time and do it yourself. So, see, God doesn't let me do everything I want to do. And he won't allow you to do everything you want to do either. You have to do it God's way or no way. And God's saying this morning, he wants each one of you to set up a new strategy in the things he's calling you for to do. And as you set up this new strategy, he's going to let you know whether it's yes or no. But he wants you to take the time to sit in his presence and talk to him about this new strategy. Because I'm just grinning because he's laughing. I have great surprises for those who will sit in my presence and talk about strategy with me. He says, like war games, you know, going to work them out. So I'm excited with what God is doing in and through you. I'm excited about So Father, we just thank you and we praise you this morning for all that you've said here and all that you've done. Father God, I just ask that a special anointing be dropped upon your people right now. The anointing to be steadfast and to march forward to your drumbeat and not another drumbeat. An anointing, Father God, that will see them through every fire, every trial, every tribulation. an anointing, Father God, that will break every yoke off of everyone they come in contact with. And Father God, I thank you for it. And God is just saying, do not abort your destiny. Do not lay hands on what God has told you to do. Take your hands off of your assignments and allow me, the Lord thy God, to carry you through your assignments. The reason you have been discouraged is because you're trying to do it your way and you're not allowing me to do it my way. My way is always the perfect way, the correct way. Your way is always tainted with the thoughts of the world. What I have called you to do, I am well able to accomplish through you. Do not look to the right nor to the left. Do not be silly-minded, but be steadfast in me. Be loyal to me and do the things that I've called you forth to do. There is a great divide right now. The lost on one side and mine on the other. I want you to reach across that divide and I want you to pull the lost into my kingdom. You cannot do this if you're divided in mind with me. We must be in one mind and one accord at all times. We must be on the same level, you and I. You can't be walking in your own understanding. And oh, how sometimes you fight with me. Why do you do that? Why do you wrestle with me? Why can you not just receive me and my words to you in faith, in purity of heart? The wrestling does not do anything for you. But it just shows me of your rebellion and your disobedience. Come, my children, let's reason together and let's get this accomplished. The harvest is so ripe. I am ready to send you into that harvest. Will you go for me this day? And will you quit kicking against the pricks? Will you just quit your stupidity? And will you just walk in the sureness that I am who I am and you are who you are, and I am calling you together to work with me? I am that I am, and I am never changes. Thank you, Father.